Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, a program that has fascinating guests, lively talk and conversation, community news, storytelling, and a look at our local entertainment scene. The time is 10 o'clock. You're listening to WCOM Good Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro, and always a few surprises. Now here's Claudio.
Good morning, Rocco.
Good morning, Claudio.
Good morning, everyone tuning us in, and thanks for doing so. This is another day at the Speakeasy, where we always pretty much fly by the seat of our pants. Got my friend Vida Renfro in the studio here, and we're going to get back to her about her life in just a moment, and I believe she's brought her partner with her. Morning, Vida.
Good morning, Claudio. How are you
Great
doing?
Great to have you on. She got here in the nick of time.
Nick of time. Traffic on 40. Wow. Wow.
Yeah, that's the reason I moved out of Raleigh and bought a place in the country.
I was starting to think that maybe I was being kept in Raleigh.
I think, yes, I think the demons are about. They might be holding you back. Introduce your partner, please.
My partner is here with me today, and her name is Leah Thomason.
Hi, Leah. And welcome aboard. I was going to actually start the show with a little bit of a cabaret flavor.
Ooh.
Just to sort of play into what you're all about anyway.
I'm a fan of cabaret.
Performance style. And I thought we'd start it off with Marlene Dietrich.
Ooh.
Singing Lily Marlene.
How appropriate.
Is that appropriate?
How
Great.
Appropriate.
Let's go to that, Rocco.
Stillen Raume aus der Erde Grund hebt sich wie im Traume dein verliebter Mund. Wenn sich die späten Nebel drehen, wer wird bei der Laterne stehen? Mit dir, Lili Marlene, mit dir.
Your time is important. Take us along. We're WCOM Community Radio for Chapel Hill and Carrboro. Now back to Claudio's Speakeasy in Radio Theater.
Und das war die geliebte Marlene Dietrich. Just in case you're wondering who that was the beloved Marlene Dietrich, who probably had a rather strong influence in the drag scene, didn't she?
For me personally, absolutely.
And speaking absolutely. As Sterling Maxwell, are we now?
Yes. Yes. Sterling has popped
up. We got a strong response from your fan base, so I know there's quite a few folks out there listening.
And Marlena was that particular movie.
I think it was The Blue Devil, but I'm not positive about that title.
The one with her in the tux.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, I was glad to find some of these old cabaret tunes. I have some Ute Lemper for later on in the show, even Threepenny Opera in German. But let's go into your performance career, or let's start the show how you'd like to start it. How would you like to go about introducing yourself?
Well, I am a native of Raleigh, North Carolina. I was born and raised in Raleigh.
That's pretty amazing.
I don't think there's very
many. They usually flee.
Yeah, I was about to say. I actually left for 3 or 4 years mm-hmm. To go to school in New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico.
All right.
And I got a degree in media arts there and proceeded to move back. I have noticed that a lot of, or at least a lot of my friends that have moved away, somehow there's a vortex that seems to suck you back into Raleigh. I'm not sure.
I've always, in the United States, I've considered Raleigh kind of my home base, my hometown. But it's gotten so full of people and traffic's gotten kind of stupid there, so I went and bought a place in Broadway out in the country just to be away from it all.
After driving here today, and it took us 40 minutes just to get out of Raleigh.
My goodness.
Just to get out of Raleigh from downtown.
Wow.
And to hit the I-40 mark. Out of Raleigh. It was pretty amazing.
Yeah, I know you called me, a little after 9?
Yeah. I was really, and all the driving that I do to Durham mm-hmm. To come to the Carolina Theater, I've never seen it that bad. Never. In the years I've worked there, I've never made that drive. I've never seen it that bad.
I think the demons are trying to stop us from having the show or something.
You never know.
No telling.
Yesterday was pretty intense, so...
Yes, give us a scoop on what went on yesterday.
Well,
I know you were speaking in front of a committee.
I did. I spoke yesterday. I spoke in front of the Wake County Board of Commissioners during their regular meeting schedule. And during public comments that happened at 2:30 during their meetings.
And what was this about?
Well, basically, on February 20th, the Wake County Board of Commissioners brought forth and passed a resolution supporting Amendment 1. And the next day, I basically lost my job.
That's pretty uncanny.
The timing is really strange for it all, especially since the day of that resolution vote, I decided to come out of the closet to various people that I knew that mm-hmm. worked there along with me. And I've been there for 4 years and never had a complaint about my work at all. And I was a broadcast technician, so
right.
I sent out their image and made sure that they were seen and heard and who was... So the public would also know who was speaking
mm-hmm.
and what they were talking about. And in those 4 years, I never had a complaint about my job. So it was really ironic that the next day after they voted to support Amendment 1 that I had lost my job.
What's even more strange is that nothing has even really been passed. It's just sort of up in the air right now, and they would make that kind of a maneuver. I don't quite understand the logic behind that.
Well, my personal feeling as a citizen in watching the whole resolution being brought to the Wake County Board of Commissioners, which, by the way, I really don't feel like they have any business voting on passing moral judgments mm-hmm. on the citizens that they were elected to represent.
Right.
They were voted in to talk about and make decisions about where taxpayer money basically is spent and projects that need to be started or stopped and the Board of Education and things like that. They don't. That's really not what they were. Were put here.
It's really not their business. You're right.
So from there, the next day, basically, I was told I didn't have a job.
Just out of the blue, just as simple as that.
Well, I mean, I can only make speculations because,
sure.
And here's the reason: North Carolina is an at-will state. And in mm-hmm. employment, and that basically means that you can be hired and fired for no real reason. And which is, I mean, it's sad. And
unless there's a union in the picture of some sort.
And specifically, sexual orientation is not, there's no non-discrimination against sexual orientation that's been adopted by the state of North Carolina. So sexual orientation is not protected in the state. Now, certain counties Durham County, Orange County, Guilford County, Mecklenburg County. They have all adopted non-discriminatory policies for sexual orientation. Even the city of Raleigh actually has done that as well, but Wake County has not.
Interesting.
It's very interesting. Wake County has not. Its surrounding counties are on it, but
there are so many varying opinions flying about, especially among those that are offended that the government, who's already way too big for their boots, are taking another step. And this is really sort of a matter of church and state looking in, peering into our bedrooms in a real manner of speaking, and deciding that they want to make decisions there too, like they don't have enough already.
Exactly.
I think it's time that people got up and realized that we are the government. We need to start putting our feet down.
One of the things that was always really important from a very young age, I was told how important my voice is and how important speaking out is and standing up and
that's why I do the speakeasy.
And the minute that I turned 18, I started voting. And my grandmother was the first mother in the House of Representatives in South Carolina, Emma Jane McDermott. And she's a very influential person in my life. She passed away about a year and a half ago. And but I know she was standing right there beside me yesterday when I was up there speaking, and as my grandfather, and they were really helping, their spirits were right there helping me push through that.
I can believe that. I think in many respects, this Amendment 1, and I don't want to stay on this for too long. I want to come back to it because I'm as intrigued about your own artistic career. So,
absolutely.
Especially since you and I met in the arts. But I definitely see Amendment 1 as honestly a blatant attempt to legalize discrimination.
Absolutely.
That's ultimately, when you look at the bottom of what this is, that's truly
absolutely
what it is. And that's really my take on it. And I think we're going to go to another cabaret song just to take a breather. And then we're going to come back on The Life of Sterling Maxwell. And we'll continue on with Amendment 1. This is Claudio Speakeasy in Radio Theater. I want to quickly acknowledge the historic Carolina Theater of Durham as my underwriter and longtime friend on the show. Check out what's coming their way. Mike Cross is coming there on May 5th. I'm hoping to be stage managing that show, hint, hint. And that's the scoop. And look up anything, to find out anything that's going on at the Carolina Theater, look up carolinatheater.org.
This is 103.5 WCOM, Chapel Hill, Carrboro. WCOM is also heard online at WCOMFM.org.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be what I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm one out of every four children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Sie werden heute Abend eine Oper für Bettler sehen. Weil diese Oper so prunkvoll gedacht war, wie nur Bettler sie erträumen, und weil sie doch so billig sein sollte, dass Bettler sie bezahlen können, heißt sie die Drei-Groschen-Oper.
Thank you.
15 minutes now past 10 o'clock. Do what you can to help support WCOM Radio. In Carrboro, you can make a cash donation to this station in one of our marked containers located at Cliff's Meat Market, Southern Rail Restaurant, Sid's Military Surplus Store, and the Carrboro Beverage Company. You can also make a donation here at our station at 208 East Main Street. Remember, WCOM is your voice in our community.
And remember, freedom of speech lives in little stations like these. As a matter of fact, people from all over the world try to pull up these channels on computer and God knows where, just because they know they're not going to get corporate canned speak. So if any of you out there are in the have the interest of supporting freedom of speech, true freedom of speech, tell it like it is, this is where you go. So keep us in mind for that. This state's economy is greatly derived from the arts and tourism. We are known, in fact, as the state of the arts, so we really have to be careful what we allow our politicians to do on our behalf. And we're going to get back to the Amendment 1 scenario, but first I want to explore Sterling Maxwell, Vida Renfro, a little bit more as far as her own artistry goes.
Oh, my goodness.
So spill the beans, kid.
Where to begin? I guess I've always been a performer. I come from a family of performers.
Explain that.
My grandfather was a violinist,
uh-huh.
And my grandmother was a champion whistler. My aunt plays in a band and is a playwright, and
right.
My mother is a dancer and a dance teacher and a drama teacher, and my the list goes on.
So you have no excuse, right?
Yeah, right. I really do. I come from a family of artists and musicians and performers and teachers as well.
Fantastic.
A big force of teachers as well, so that's very important.
And today we're dealing with the teaching spirit in you as far as Amendment 1 goes, but we'll get back to that.
Exactly. So I've always been supported in the arts as far as that goes. I've always had an interest. I've been a musician, an artist, a poet, and I've always been encouraged and supported by my family and all of that.
And you've also been engaged behind the scenes, because you and I both met in a technician capacity working shows at the Carolina Theater.
Exactly. I'm for the most part, I'm typically comfortable behind the scenes or on the stage.
Mm-hmm.
However, speaking in front of politicians is a whole different story.
I can quite imagine. How did that feel?
That was frightening. I don't think I've ever been as terrified as I was yesterday, but... And all these years of
What was the tension? Where do you feel like that came? Do you feel like you were basically being judged?
I think a big part of it is that, you know, as a performer, specifically in the character that I do, known as Sterling Maxwell,
mm-hmm.
That I can become someone who is not me, if that makes a sense.
Right.
I can let go a little bit of Vida and not have all Vida's fears and
every performer
and anxiety
cherishes
right
hiding
there.
In that, yes.
Exactly. And so so getting up yesterday, that was just me. That's just me.
I understand.
That was me raw. I mean, and so
yes.
I didn't get to put on makeup yesterday.
The next album, and Vida in the Raw. Right.
Exactly. Exactly. So I didn't get a chance to, like, you know, put myself out there as a
right.
character. It was really me. And so having being able to perform is a nice outlet to
mm-hmm.
be able to
and that is also not to mistake
things.
That you don't come through in the character you play.
Exactly. And that is true. I mean, we are the same
yes.
person.
It's like putting on a flavor and expressing yourself through that.
I don't have the same fear getting up on stage if I'm Sterling as I do if I'm Vida.
Yeah.
I don't know what.
I've never spoken in front of a committee as you mentioned here, so I can only. And that's why my curiosity is heightened as to how that would really feel. But I could see that maybe, you know, the fact that you were sort of being looked upon sternly, and very likely sensing an element of judgment mm-hmm. would have made that an entirely different audience.
Yeah, and really honestly, Sterling doesn't care about judgment.
Good.
at all. I mean, he's not worried about it in the least. Which is kind of a part of why I've created him to some
right.
degree, is that he's a
sort of an alter ego in a sense.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. He kind of helps me to do push myself a little further to do some things that maybe I feel
and
too.
Give us an example. What does Sterling do?
Well, he's Sterling is a professional drag king.
Okay.
And that means I appear in male representation.
Mm-hmm.
Appear male and perform as male. And
I'll never forget the time you walked on stage looking just like Bob Dylan.
I've been. It's interesting. I've been told that I depending on how I paint my beard, my facial hair on, that I look like different people.
I can well imagine that. Yeah.
I think the best one was the Jack Sparrow, the Captain Jack. one time. I don't know if you can get a better compliment than someone saying that you resemble Johnny Depp. I don't know if that, I mean, but maybe.
I'd say it's pretty hot.
That's pretty hot. So I'll go with that. And, yes. and I don't know. Sterling is, he performs, just like drag, like normal drag, you know, lip sync. And then, but I like to do a little bit more of a twist with it and kind of mix up the gender lines in the performance and maybe start off in more of a male representation and kind of blur it where there's a female male representation and sometimes then switching all the way back to female.
And
so,
you're doing these characters, mm-hmm, what maybe one mm-hmm. by taking off the hat or just creating different
exactly
perspectives.
I mean, a lot of the shows I do right now involve burlesque and variety, and so it's not just I don't do just drag shows. I actually work quite a bit with the local performer scene in general.
Fantastic. I know you host the this particular program as well, right?
Exactly. It's called The Early Show, and it's the fourth Sunday of every month.
I'm going to have to get to one.
It's a lot of fun,
I'm sure.
I have to say. It is a lot of fun, and it's a full variety show. We have drag and burlesque and belly dancing and singing and cirque stuff and poi and hooping and spoken word. And,
fantastic. Hey, I might have to fit into that one.
That's what I'm thinking.
Good.
What I'm thinking.
Okay.
A little light bulb just went.
Yes, yes,
bing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Indeed. I felt that on my head, too.
Well, the next show is going to be April 22nd, and so that's coming up. It's this next Sunday.
I've got to be at a big art festival on Saturday, so I'll let you know by email.
Okay. All right. And that's at Legends Nightclub in Raleigh.
Okay. That's certainly famous enough. Is there any particular message or in the character of Sterling Maxwell, is there any particular kind of embodiment of statement of philosophy or behind the character, something that you use?
Well, Sterling, to me personally, Sterling has had a huge evolution mm-hmm. since I started performing as Sterling to where he is now. And a lot of that started off with more of getting a feeling and creating the character out of messages that I was getting from pop culture and media and different things like that and trying to kind of feel how that was internally mm-hmm. and then express that outwardly. And so he kind of started off in this one vein of performance and style, and then has kind of progressed into the style that he is now, which is a little bit, I think to me right now, he's kind of in this lounge singer kind of
lounge lizard.
Yeah, like lounge space of like and I'm also known as the Lady Man. They call me the Lady Man, and that's because I do kind of cross that gender line, where sometimes I'm clearly looking male, but mm-hmm. then I might have
I like the idea that you
I might have
that
fishnets
up.
On.
Yeah,
I'm just saying I might.
Right. Rocky Horror Picture Show comes to mind.
exactly, and actually that's probably where I got my first taste of any kind of cross dressing or anything like that was in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I had
Show
a few drinks with
16.
That guy. He was an interesting Tim Curry. Yeah.
See, my heart just started kind of.
I met him in the Hilton Underground when I was working there years ago in Raleigh on Hillsborough Street, and we just sort of hit it off on the bar and had two or three drinks together. And I looked at him and said, "You're Tim Curry," and he goes, "Shh." I said, "I heard that your band was playing here, but you know, I wasn't expecting to find myself sitting next to you." And he bought me another drink and just basically asked me not to make anybody else aware of it.
You have no idea how excited I am.
And I've got his address on a napkin. His address in England.
Oh my God!
I need to get you a copy of it.
Claudio, didn't the Rocky Horror Picture Show was played continuously at the old Rialto Theater in Raleigh.
It is still,
it
as a matter of fact,
still.
Every Friday night at midnight.
The bizarre thing was, I was just bored one night, didn't know what else to do, decided to go see this, had no idea what I was in for, so I'm sitting in this theater, packed, figured it had to be there had to be something to it since it was a packed place. But then all of a sudden, everybody's repeating every refrain, every line, and they're throwing popcorn all over the place. I'm being showered with popcorn. I don't know what the heck I was in.
Oh, yeah. And it's I went last year, and it was her first time going.
Ah, right.
It was Leah's first time going. It was like my 100 and
I've heard that a lot.
But actually, now that I think of it, Rocky Horror is actually where I came out. And it was at the Rialto Theater in Raleigh.
So I actually hit a note there. That's good to know.
It was actually in the Rialto Theater. My best friend.
Fantastic. And that's where I saw it.
I was
living in Five Points.
Oh, well, right there. I was playing the role of Riff Raff in the, ironically, in the story of my life. I was in the floor show. I was playing Riff Raff. And my friend was playing Brad.
Oh, wow.
And he was my best friend. And one day during the show, he just turned to me and he goes, "You're gay." And I was like, "What?"
What?
And he was like, "No, you're gay, really." And I was like, "What do you mean? I just like this girl. I don't know what you're talking about." and so really, literally.
It was a bit of a metamorphosis in a sense.
Yeah, it was really literally at the Rialto Theater.
I'll be darned.
That my best friend told me that I was gay. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, I guess so.
Boy, that was a... I'm going to have to listen to the show again just to see how I picked on the Rocky Horror Picture Show and this whole can of beans spilled out. That's pretty good.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
That was actually a very fun time in my life, Five Points, living there.
It was. That was a really good time. There used to be the little gay bar that was right there.
Oh, yeah, the Rat Trap or Mouse Trap or whatever
it was
called.
Yeah, it was Mouse Trap, and then it was Glenwood Park, and then it was 1622, and that's actually where I started performing.
I'll be darned. Okay.
That is actually where I started.
I was already moved away at that period, because I was there in the... Oh, I want to say late 70s for a while, but it was...
I was pretty much right next to the Rialto.
Yeah,
so it's ironic.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And, you know, here I am coming out at the Rialto, and then just a few years later, I start performing at the lesbian bar that's right next door.
That's wild. And how did you feel about coming out at the time?
I didn't really have a choice. I mean, it was, I was 16, 17 years old, and... I mean, there was not the resources that there are.
No,
today.
That's what I'm wondering.
We didn't have the internet. I mean, if you wanted to meet any other,
and it was
gay
still
people,
a bit of a closeted situation.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I actually ended up dropping out of high school because of the harassment that I endured, and as well, to just kind of define who I was, because I was clearly not. I mean, I've really felt judgment everywhere as a teenager.
I can see that back in that era. Yeah.
And not really having a resource to find people to connect with or anything like that was tough. It's really awesome that we have things like the It Gets Better Project, where, you know, there's messages that people can that gay and lesbian youth can watch these messages that
I've heard of that, but I'm not familiar with what that is.
It's basically it's a thing on YouTube that that people have basically recorded their own images and their own voice speaking to the youth, saying that it does get better, and a lot of that came about because of the suicides that happened last year. Specifically from gay bullying. I mean, from bullying gays and lesbian children and youth. And
it's funny, just to interrupt for a second, speaking of that culture, as a child growing up in South Africa, the bullying thing was common. The Afrikaners were prejudiced against just about anybody that was in their country. And here I am, a blonde-haired German growing up, and I basically got my butt kicked day after day after day just for being another culture. So I finally learned how to box. And when I got good at that, I came back, and when they started picking on me, I was actually able to defend myself. And after a while, I realized that I was better than most people that were attacking me, so I started going after bullies just to have some kind of competition, but at the same time because they bothered me. And it's interesting how the bullying pulpit has become an issue in this country.
Very much so. Very much so. I mean, at the level... I mean, this is 2012, let's be honest.
Yeah. It's pretty bizarre.
I mean, we still have kids that are being harassed, and I mean, kids are still being brought up with these messages of that they don't have value, they don't have worth, and that they're sinners, and
we're
that,
still
you
very
know, that
tribal
they're
in
not,
our prejudices,
right? I think it's so important to remind kids that it does get better. I mean, yeah, there might be a fight or two you've got to go through, and I'm in the middle of one right now, but it's worth it. I mean, it's worth it to keep to keep moving on.
Well, you got
to
stand up for what you believe in.
Indeed. I mean, you really have to. And if you don't, you know, I mean, one of the things that I learned that, again, very young was my right to vote, my right to voice is very important. In a democracy, that's what you got.
I mean, ultimately, that is. That is what you have.
And if you don't use them, then you get what you get.
Yeah. Well, this is to a great extent the product of too many couch potatoes.
Exactly.
Not getting off the couch and really doing something. And if this amendment, going back to Amendment 1, if it does see the light of day, there are many of us out there straight, and I speak as a straight man, but I'm open to all cultures. A lot of us are going to end up scratching our heads and wondering why we didn't put a stop to this, because it is going to take away a lot of individual rights that have nothing to do with being gay or lesbian.
Exactly. And that's scary. That's really scary. And it's also scary that a lot of people just want to see this as a gay marriage, you know, issue. And it's really not.
No, it's easy to pigeonhole things. Isn't that what we do in this country?
Exactly. I mean, and again, we're in an election year. Let's be honest.
Yes.
We're in an election year, and we're in an election year locally, state, mm-hmm. and at the national level.
Right.
So these big buzzwords that like to be thrown out during election years are starting to come out because they divisively split the line.
Of course.
Of who's on what side. And
whoever can bring up the biggest shock effect has got something for a
exactly.
day or two.
And so, I mean, and words like, you know, things like gay marriage strike emotion in people one way or the other very deeply. And going back to church and state,
mm-hmm.
But the problem is that this does affect gay marriage, and it would basically further institute the inability for gays to marry.
And that word in itself has always bothered me. The
yeah.
institution of
yeah.
something.
Oh yeah. I mean, basically we, okay, just so it's understood, we already can't marry in this state.
Right.
We are already not legally...
The Bible Belt and all that.
We cannot legally marry. We can marry, but it's not legally recognized.
Of course, there are states you can go to for marriage purposes.
True.
And then just come back here, but know that
it's still not recognized.
Not recognized.
Right. It's still not recognized. You can go to any of these states that are wonderful and understand what equality means for all, and go get married, but you come back and live here, and it's still not going to be recognized.
Right.
And so if it's already not legal, why do you need something that's going to say, well, it's not legal?
That's exactly what I'm scratching my head about, exactly.
Because it's already not legal. So, and the only thing really I can think of is that basically it's harder to change an amendment than it is a law.
Mm-hmm.
Just a law. So again, because it's such a big buzzword, it kind of hides all these other issues that Amendment 1 will touch on.
Why don't you give us a bit of a scoop on that?
All right. Well, the amendment will affect children. Basically, if an unmarried parent could lose their health care and prescription drug coverage, and it could put the child's health at risk. It's another thing would be a child could be taken away from a committed parent who has loved them their entire life. If something happens to the other parent and they're not married.
So essentially any coupling that is outside of essentially the rules of church and state.
Exactly. And so basically no domestic partnerships, civil unions, all those things for heterosexual couples. Now we're talking about heterosexual couples. Those rights would be taken away. And I think that's very clear. It's
so
like
your living partner or however you choose to. I personally do not want a relationship that I have to authorize by church or state.
Right. And I mean, and indeed, and we should be able to make that choice.
Yes.
And I think that's the thing is that we have the equality of everyone having that right to mm-hmm. do that and being able to choose to do that or not to, but still to be able to have the legal benefits and the legal representation from a committed relationship, regardless of how you define it.
When I first looked at the issue, it struck me a little bit, and I say this with very insecure footing as far as really taking authority over my statement here. This is purely a perception, but it struck me as a bit of a political power play.
Oh yeah, I mean definitely. And again, it's an election year,
yes.
And this is a big buzzword, and so it will align the party, put people on the party lines as they should, you know,
yeah.
in the election. And to be honest, you know, one of the things that I think scares me the most about this amendment. I mean, besides the fact that I have met someone that I would like to spend the rest of my life with, and I may not have that option to be legally protected if something should happen to me, if something should happen to her. And that's scary.
You may have to leave Raleigh again.
I know. And indeed. It's also very frightening that this amendment could possibly cause a lot of harm to unmarried women in the role of domestic violence issues. And I think that is...
Interesting point.
...is horrible. This state alone, we've had to fight so hard for... for the issue of rape to be seen as it is, to now have, and domestic violence, basically, to now have this amendment come around. And basically, if it says that you only legal union is marriage, then it could possibly make it incredibly difficult for an unmarried woman to prosecute her partner in domestic violence.
It's certainly going to bring a bias to the forefront.
Right. So, I mean, because it's going to redefine their relationship, and if they're not married and it's not a legal union, then it's not maybe of the same importance. And I think that's really dangerous.
Vita, I don't know how old you are or if you were even born in the early 1970s, but in 1973 or 4, the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution, this is a state amendment you're talking about, Amendment 1, but the Equal Rights Amendment, which was, I believe, 9 or 10 words, was not passed in this country, and it was stopped pretty much here. It was on its way to getting passed across the country. North Carolina was a crucial state, and it did not pass in this state, and the momentum of the Equal Rights Amendment to the Constitution of the United States never passed, and it's still... not an issue nationally as far as trying to resurrect the Equal Rights Amendment. It shows you how things can be in this country.
Wow.
And I know you're not old enough to remember that.
I'm not, but I was actually born in 1970.
Okay.
But at four, I wasn't too aware of politic issues.
It was a very big issue to steer clear of as long as you can.
Yeah.
You had to have a 2/3 majority vote across the country by the states, and the process was underway for about 2 years, and a number of states passed it, some didn't, but it was down to maybe 3 or 4 states, and I believe 1 or 2 of them had to pass, and it came to North Carolina, and it failed, and it was very close, and this was 1974 or 75. It, of course, was all across the news, and
just shows to go, yeah.
Well, the Constitution of the United States says that, you know, there should be no discrimination, not in so many words.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, we've always had discrimination in this country.
I totally agree. Well, in a few seconds here, let's come up for air by listening to Marlene Dietrich on Cut 13.
Lovely.
Falling in Love Again.
Nice.
WCOM 103.5 FM, Community Radio.
Play it how I may,
I was made that way, I can't help it. Men cluster to me like moths around a flame, and if their wings burn, I know I'm not to blame. Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? I can't help it. Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? I can't help it. Love's always been my game, play it how I may. I was made that way, I can't help it. Men cluster to me like moths around a flame, and if their wings burn, I know I'm not to blame. Falling in love again, never wanted to. What am I to do? I can't help it.
You're tuned to 103.5 FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Están escuchando a 103.FM, WCOMLP, Chapel Hill, Carborough. Thanks for listening to our station.
You're listening to Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, and we hope you're having a good morning. Stay tuned to 103.5 WCOM. We're with you 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. We're community radio for Carborough and Chapel Hill. Now back to Claudio.
Just doesn't get any better than that. What a voice.
Oh, my God. That really is one of my favorites.
Yeah.
That one is one of my favorites. And how appropriate that line of... born, I was just born this way, I can't help it. Oh,
yes.
I was like, yes. I'm so feeling
good.
That
I picked
right
the
now.
Right music for the
I'm
day.
I'm so feeling that right now, Claudia. Thank you.
That's cool. I just, how can you not love that voice? And to think that she's been so long gone, but that voice still kicks
timeless.
It. Yeah, timeless.
Timeless.
Absolutely. Anything you want to tell us more about Sterling Maxwell?
Well,
we're going to keep bouncing back and forth.
Yeah. Well, let's see.
What's coming up, for example?
Oh, my goodness. There's
what was the last show? What's the next show? Something.
Well, the last show we had, we've just started doing themes for these monthly shows at Legends. And
themes.
Themes like so basically the show, all the performances are kind of constructed around a basic theme.
All right.
Say like in February, it was the vagina monologues.
Okay, gotcha. We can say
very,
it louder. The vagina monologues.
Say,
there we go.
Like, can I say vagina?
Yes,
I don't
you
know
can.
If I can say vagina. Can I say
you
it
can almost
times?
Say dirty words on my show.
Can I say it three times in a row?
Go ahead.
Vagina, vagina, vagina.
There
oh, that's
we go.
Awesome. Okay. So the month of March.
Talking to you, baby.
The month of March is, February has always held the vagina monologues. And so like for instance, for that month, so we had Celebrating the V.
All right.
And so a lot of the performances were focused around this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And March...
It doesn't have to be specific.
Well, I was going to say, I had a concussion in March, and so
ouch.
I'm not...
So I see. Yes, well, that just proved it.
Pieces of March are a little
March is a little scattered.
There.
Yes.
Yeah. But this month in April,
yes.
We are actually it's called the Special Equality Edition, and so the performances in the show are going to be kind of featuring and focused around issues that are coming out of Amendment 1.
Ah,
and
good.
And I think it'll be a really, it's always a sexy fun time before bedtime is what
no
we like
doubt.
To say, because it's a 7:30 show. And so it's over by 9:30. And so everyone has plenty of time for their beauty rest
yes,
for the work week
I
to start
so.
On Monday. So, this particular one is still going to be sexy fun before bedtime, but there's going to be a little educational entertainment mm-hmm. that's going to go on as well.
And of course, the actual vote occurs on May 8th, right?
Yeah, May 8th, indeed. And so here's something important. You can still register to vote if you have not voted, registered. You can, the one-stop voting polling
Good.
Places
okay.
Will allow you to do on-site registration. And you just basically have to go to your county's Board of Election site.
And that is for this particular thing or in
that
general?
That is in general.
Well, okay.
Apparently, that is what I found out specifically for this particular
okay.
coming up.
Gotcha.
I would assume that it's probably for most mm-hmm. for most elections. But in this one particularly, if you have not registered and you want to, the way to do that at this point, because it's too late to fill out a form and mail it
right.
in. It's way too late for that. So you, the only way to register at this point is on site at these one-stop polling places.
Okay.
And so again, you just go to the, whatever county you're living in, you look up that county's Board of Elections, site on the web,
Good
on
to
the
know.
Web and then you can find
Good
out
to
how
know,
to
because
do
even
that.
I didn't know that. So
it's important because I think a lot of people are saying like, oh, well, I didn't get, you know, didn't get to register.
Yeah.
Well, you can still
go make a noise.
I am actually really happy to say that since October, I've been a part of this this kind of campaign, I guess you could call it, North Carolina Entertainers Against Amendment 1 that I started on Facebook. And since then, since October when we started, we have registered over 100 people to vote.
Fantastic. Give us the contact information for you while I have you.
Well,
there.
My personal email is Miss Vida, MISVEDA at MAC.com. And I would be glad to direct people to wherever, whether it be Sterling Maxwell information or just my information.
Right.
I also have a website that, unfortunately, it's currently down, but it is in the process of coming back up.
Give it
up.
To us anyway. Eventually, it'll hop back up.
It's www.theladyman.com, and that's just like it sounds,
The Lady
Man. And again, like, it's a good time. Like, the fourth Sunday, we have a good time.
I'm going to be there. It's just a matter of whether I can do it this week or not.
Well, and again, fourth Sunday, so you've got,
yes.
you know, thank goodness
got
we
time.
Have.
Exactly.
It's a regular thing.
Plus, we know each other as friends, so you can always beat me up if I don't eventually
show up. Well,
there
you go. I'll just give you a
I know I was a little pushy with you on the emails, and that was just me trying to make sure we got together here.
That was just too funny. That was too funny. I was like, I got to sleep at some time.
Yeah, I know. I didn't realize I'd sent you that email at midnight. I was doing stuff, writing, just not even focusing on time.
And I know how that is. Just producing shows or balancing, performing, and working,
Absolutely.
And behind the scenes, in front of the scene, like all of balancing.
And you focus
all
on
out.
So many different things that time might just be something that doesn't get attention.
Oh yeah. Oh, I mean, a majority of the time, I'm running about 3 days late. So.
Well, I remember you telling me, you pointed out that I sent that to you at midnight and you were already in bed since 10. I didn't realize I sent it at midnight.
Yeah, it was kind of funny.
I was basically getting on, for anyone interested out there, I was getting on Vida about getting me all the necessary information so that I could promote this show.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. So, but no, I didn't take it personally at all.
Good.
Another way you can get in touch with me or to find out more information about this is I wrote an article in the Gay and Lesbian resource paper for the Triangle, and it's called The Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And the name of my article is My Resolution to Speak Out, and it's in this April issue of The Triangle on page 4. And you can get that, you can access that at trianglelgbt.com. And you can actually access all of the past archived issues
is
as well.
I'm gonna do
and
as
I've
well.
I've written in the paper a number of times as well. I think I sent a couple of the articles about
it. I enjoyed it.
You.
I have to say you're very well outspoken.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
You circumnavigate your issues well. Shall we put it that way?
Is that just a nice way to say I have a really big mouth, Claudio?
Actually, I was trying to point that toward print.
Well, I mean, I have been told I have a really big mouth, and so I guess I should use it for good.
Well, I think every once in a while we've got to blow out our own trumpets. That's why you're here today anyway.
Just a little toot toot.
Right. Oh, goodness. Shall we go to a little more music? Because the show's going to end before too long. I wouldn't mind hearing a little more Marlene Dietrich.
Oh, yes.
La Vie en Rose.
WCOM Community Radio is made possible by our underwriters, contributors, and volunteers. Support us. Donations are always welcomed. We're your voice in our community.
Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose. Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause. C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, me l'a juré pour la vie. Oh. Et dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens en moi mon cœur qui bat,
des yeux qui font baisser les miens, un rire qui se perd sur sa bouche. Voilà le portrait sans retouche de l'homme auquel j'appartiens. Quand il me prend dans ses bras, il me parle tout bas, je vois la vie en rose. Il me dit des mots d'amour, des mots de tous les jours, et ça me fait quelque chose.
Il est entré dans mon cœur, une part de bonheur dont je connais la cause.
C'est lui pour moi, moi pour lui dans la vie. Il me l'a dit, me l'a juré pour la vie.
Et dès que je l'aperçois, alors je sens en moi mon cœur qui bat.
Look around you. One in four kids in the U.S. faces hunger. It's not always easy to see the signs, but in this land of plenty, there are kids who don't know where they'll get their next meal. Join Share Our Strength and take the pledge to end childhood hunger here in America by 2015. Learn how at nokidhungry.org. Their next meal could come from you.
Claudio's Speakeasy and Radio Theater, heard at 103.5 Community Radio, WCOM.
I want to thank you folks for tuning us in today. I'm still here in the studio with Vida Renfro, her partner. Give us I've got brain freeze. What's your name?
My name's Leah Thomason.
Leah Thomason. We need her mic on there. Leah Thomason.
Yes.
Forgive me, brain freeze. So we're actually going to bring this whole thing to a wrap. But you were just interviewed on, what is it, 17 and ABC?
NBC 17.
NBC 17.
And I'm kind of shocked at all the attention that it got so quickly. Immediately after I spoke, I was interviewed by NBC 17. And Leah and was there with me, and they wanted to get some B-roll of us together, and we were walking around together, and this was pretty much her first time really being.
What did you think of the whole thing, Leah?
As well, and it's pretty intense.
How did you feel in that part?
Well, I didn't have to say anything; just had to
be a presence.
I just had to look pretty.
And you did. You did.
I can do that.
You did, sweetie. You did.
Well, any profound note to go out on? We're going to do play one more Marlene Dietrich toward the end of the show, and it's coming right up. I usually close off at 5 minutes till.
Yeah, I do.
Give us a closing statement.
I actually have a little something, and I think that I would like to say that, you know, if your marriage needs protection from me, then I really strongly suggest either a marriage counselor or a therapist.
Yes.
And not a constitutional amendment. yes. And having said that, you know, I really feel like there's really no denying what's going on in this country on the national, the state, and the local level during an election year, using these buzzwords of gay marriage such. And my losing my job. I really feel like all these things are very much directly connected. And it should really be a further reminder and reason of why we must keep fighting for equality for everyone, and why we have to vote against Amendment 1 on
the
8th.
And to put a fine point on what you just said, to say it straight to Uncle Scam and Auntie Church, and I give voice to great multitudes here in making this statement, keep your noses out of our bedrooms unless you want your asses severely kicked. That's pretty much how I feel about it.
There you go.
John Paul has something to say. Go ahead. Tune in.
Yes, I have something to say.
Please.
I've been married for 42 years to the same woman, and I have absolutely no idea what people are talking about when they say same-sex marriage is going to threaten my marriage.
Absolutely.
What the hell are they saying?
Right.
What is that about?
Yeah.
You know what's wrong? They're bigots.
You got the Bible belt on too tight, folks.
There
That's what
go.
It boils down to. Listen, thank you for tuning us in. This is Claudio Speakeasy and Radio Theater. Saying thank you to my guests, and thanks to you folks.
Until
next time, you keep us tuned in, and we'll keep you turned on. Cheers.
Chapel Hill Carborough Community Radio, this is WCOM.